Clear prop. Welcome to the Aviator's Blog. I'm basically going to talk to you about my various experiences flying. I'm a fairly newly minted private pilot. I've got just about 80 hours under my belt, so not a whole lot, but enough to keep my life interesting at least. Do some flying mostly for personal things, and yeah, that's pretty much it. So I'm going to share some advice that I've gained over the past few months. Hopefully help new pilots out there who are working on getting their private exam. And who knows, maybe I'll give some tips to some old veterans out there that just didn't think of some of these things. This will be the very first podcast. I'm going to talk to you about some comedic things. One of the things out there is called the Rules of Flying. There's 25 of them. Some hold some interesting little tidbits that some of us might like to think about and remember. More on that later. Right now, I'm going to take a short break here and go grab myself a glass of water, and I'll be back in a few moments. Well, to you, it'll be zero time at all, but for me, it'll be a few moments. Talk to you in a bit. Okay, so I've had enough chance to go grab my glass of water and a bit more relaxed. So now it's time to pass on the first part of a piece of wisdom to you. I told you there are 25 rules of flight. Well, I'm not going to do them in order. I'm going to do them in an order that seems to kind of make no sense at all, but it just happens to work for me, I guess. I'm going to start off with number 15. Number 15 states, there are three simple rules for making a smooth landing. However, no one knows what they are. So, 15. Smooth landings. Well, I have almost 200 landings, and out of those, maybe 10 were flawless. For those 10, there were no pressure landings. I had no one in the plane. I had no one to show how good a pilot I am. I was just simply flying the airplane. I wish I could do that every time, but, I mean, unfortunately we're human. And therefore, occasionally we develop mental blocks. Now, I failed my certification the first time, and I'll freely admit I screwed up a short field landing twice. And, one of those little mental blocks that gets in there and just didn't want to move. Now, my instructors, I actually had a backup instructor in case mine was busy, so I didn't have to delay my training. My instructors all told me that I have a natural ability when it comes to flying. Now, while that may sound like a good thing, it isn't. If you're a student pilot and anyone ever tells you that, slap them. Slap them hard. It may sound like an ego boost, and I'll be honest, it is somewhat of an ego boost. But from the moment that you're told that, you'll be trying so hard to be perfect that you're going to forget to have fun and relax. The relaxation is the key. I know that I have made some hard landings. I think every student does it at one point or another. The hardest landing I ever made was technically a textbook landing gone wrong. I was maybe 5 feet above the runway, flying straight down it, and I flared too much. The Archer I was flying stalled, and we came down pretty hard. My posterior will probably never forgive me for that one. Anyways, the moral of all this is actually pretty simple. You're going to have hard landings. You're going to have smooth landings. And you're going to have landings that are probably very close to, if not near perfect. The key to all of this is to treat every landing that you have as a learning experience. If you treat every landing that you have as a learning experience, if you treat every flight that you have as a learning experience, you're going to make an excellent pilot. You're going to have people who want to fly with you. You're going to have people who are comfortable flying with you. You're going to have people who have no problems whatsoever getting into an airplane, taking a trip with you. And if you then occasionally have a hard landing that you weren't planning on, they won't be fully upset by it because they know for a fact that it wasn't your fault. I mean, obviously, it's always pilot fault, but let's be honest. There are some times you just make a hard landing. And they know that you won't necessarily make it the next time. Every flight you take, whether it be with an instructor, whether it be solo, whether it be with passengers, every flight you take is a learning experience. Now, I'm going to tell you about flights I've done. I'm going to tell you about flights I plan on doing. This blog will, or I guess podcast technically is what this is, will cover various flights that I want to do, that I've done, both with passengers, without passengers. It'll cover flights that I did for fun. It'll cover flights that I do for business. It'll cover flights that I do for organizations. It'll cover flights I do with my AOPA mentor. For those of you that haven't joined the AOPA, I highly recommend it. It's a good organization, especially if you're a student pilot. They now have this thing called Project Pilot, which will team you up with mentors in your area who can give you good advice, who've been through it before, who can help you and kind of, you know, show you the ropes, so to speak. I currently have three students that I'm mentoring. My mentor, I was the first one he mentored, and I'm grateful that he did. I learned a great deal from him, and I still learn a great deal from him. Get friends in aviation. Trust me, your normal friends will not understand this. You know, I'm pretty sure we all have a friend out there somewhere who's a sci-fi geek, and before I go too far, I'll freely admit that I'm one of them, but I'm sure we all have a friend out there who's a sci-fi geek, and we just don't understand why or how they could possibly be into this. Well, the way that society looks at people like that is the way that most of your friends are looking at you. They don't understand what the allure of aviation is. They're not sure why you're into it to the extent that you are. And therefore, the absolute best thing you can do is take people flying. Take people flying, learn from it, share the joy of flight. With that, I guess I'm coming in for a landing at the moment. I will be back momentarily to talk about one of the first flights that I made for, I guess, 100% sheer pleasure. There was no training involved, just a fun flight. And that was through the Hudson VFR corridor. So I'll be back again in a few moments to talk to you about that. So I'm back again. Promised you I'd tell you about the Hudson VFR corridor flight. I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to cover one more thing before I leave you today, which is going to be some tips and advice for your check ride. But let's start with the Hudson VFR corridor. Hudson VFR corridor is a wonderful corridor. It's straight up the middle of the Hudson River. Just stay below 1,000 feet. Sounds easy. It's not that difficult. It's a very beautiful flight. We took this, me and my at that point former instructor took this flight. I wanted to bring someone along who at least knew the corridor to show me the ropes, just in case, you know. Always, safety. If you're unfamiliar with it, bring someone along who's flown it before. Now, we started out, we flew from Wilmington, KILG for anyone that wants to look up the airport. I recommend airnav.com, by the way, for that. Excellent little site for that. We flew from there, got flight following from Philadelphia, got flight following in New Jersey, and we flew up the corridor. We flew up to the beginning of the corridor, which is right straight in over the Verrazano Narrows Bridge. Now, right about the time that you start seeing the Verrazano Narrows and you start crossing out over the water right at the north end of New Jersey there, you want to begin your descent. You want to be at about 1,200 when you cross that bridge. Preferably about 1,100. That'll put you right in the corridor, and then you just keep descending down to about 800 feet is a good altitude for the corridor. It'll put you high enough that you're definitely above the water, obviously, and you can still see around you. all the fun things that are out there to see. Now, the very first thing you're going to find as you enter the corridor is lots of traffic. They have a specific corridor channel that you want to tune to. Everyone's on it. Everyone's talking to each other. There's no controller, so you don't have to worry about it. You're flying underneath the Class Bravo airspace for LaGuardia, Newark, and JFK, and you're also flying underneath, actually next to, technically, the Class Charlie airspace for Teterboro. Now, you're going to be flying down. You're going to be starting into the corridor. You're going to be talking to people. Always give position announcements. There are a lot of helicopter tours that fly in that area. You want them to know where you are. You want to tell them that you're coming in over the Arizona Narrows Bridge. Proper call for that would be Hudson Traffic, in my case. Hudson Traffic, Archer 340 Papa Alpha, entering the VFR corridor northbound, crossing over the Arizona Narrows Bridge. That'll give them a reference point that lets you know about where you are. You told them the type of aircraft, they can figure out about how fast you're going to be going. You're not going to make this a fast flight. You're not going to put the throttle all the way forward. You want to enjoy this view. As a matter of fact, if you're a good pilot, I would almost recommend putting the airplane into the first step of slow flight. You know, one notch of flaps, slow you down. Nice, gentle flight through if you want to. Or just throttle back. I actually fly the corridor at about 2,000 RPM, which is slightly below cruising. I trim the plane a little bit to give me a little bit more up, a little bit more lift to guarantee that I'm keeping altitude. Very beautiful flight. Now, you're going to hear people make one reference constantly, especially in the beginning of the flight, to the Lady. The Lady, of course, is the Statue of Liberty. It's the very first landmark that you're going to see aside from the Verrazano Narrows Bridge that's easily recognizable. Many people won't necessarily recognize what Battery Park looks like. They won't recognize the tip of Manhattan, things like that. So the Lady is by far the easiest reference you got there. I'll tell you this much, from 800 feet up and about 500 feet over, she's a beautiful lady. You won't have many chances to see things like that often. So the flight continues up. You're going to pass by Ground Zero. It's going to be on your right-hand side. You're going to get a very nice view of it going in, so if you have a passenger, make sure they have cameras ready. Passengers are going to catch things on the right hand of the plane going in, and obviously it's still going to be the right hand side going out, but it's going to be the other side of the river. So they'll see the Lady better going out than they will going in. Now, it used to be that one of the next things you would see would be the Intrepid. That unfortunately has now been taken out for maintenance. It will be back. I was fortunate enough on the two flights that I did that she was still there. I have pictures of her. I will be sharing a link to those pictures eventually, just don't have it set up yet. While I'm on the subject of that, I'll also be sharing a link to my online logbook so you can all see what I'm doing, how I'm doing it, when I'm doing it. Anyway, so you continue on. The next thing you're going to pass over is the Tappan Zee Bridge. Before you get to the Tappan Zee Bridge, you're going to start seeing the Empire State Building. You'll see Central Park. It's a very nice flight. The last major landmark you're going to pass over is actually the George Washington Bridge. Right when you pass this is the bridge that takes you into the Bronx. Right when you pass this bridge, depending on what you want to do, if you're going to keep flying north, keep flying north. If you're not going to keep flying north, you want to pass the bridge over toward the right-hand side of it. Now, you don't want to cross over into land. If your plane's over land, you're actually inside airspace and all sorts of annoying things happen there. So you want to kind of stay on the water side and cross over into land. take that back. You don't want to cross into land. Stay on the water side toward the right-hand side. Fly out on the bridge and basically make a loop and fly back. A standard rate turn will actually do it for you. Standard rate turn to your left will put you right back, heading back the corridor southbound on the other side, and it'll get you right across, put you on the you'll pass the tower for the bridge on the left. You'll be on the left and just stay, the towers will just stay on your left constantly. Now you could fly all the way out of the corridor if you want, go up and make the turn. To do that, you basically have to fly as far north as Sing Sing Prison. Sing Sing Prison is right on the inside of the I believe it's the LaGuardia part of the Class Bravo airspace. Anyways, you get that, you get there, you turn around, you fly back down the corridor. If you've stayed under the corridor the entire time, you're still pretty much at 800 feet. You can descend down to about 500. I wouldn't go much lower than that unless you're really comfortable with it, but I wasn't even really comfortable down at 500 feet. I will admit I got a beautiful picture of the Statue of Liberty. My instructor took it as we were flying out. We were at 500 feet at that point. You're going to want to stay around 800, though, just because of the bridges and the helicopters. And also, for God's sakes, remember one thing. Don't try to fly formation with the helicopter pilots. They really don't like it. When we were flying the last flight through the corridor, we had a pilot that was doing that. And the helicopter pilots came up and they were not happy at all. So, food for thought. Anyways, once again, I'm going to take another few second break here, go get my breath, and then I'll come back and I'll tell you about some tips for your initial flight review, your check ride, some very important things to remember that will help you to become more comfortable with it, and will also give you one incredibly important tip that I know for a fact saved me on it. So I'll be back in just a moment, and look forward to talking to you some more. Okay, welcome back. This is the final section of this podcast. Basically, what I want to pass on here is just some general information for your check ride. There's some important stuff that you should think about in the back of your head. There's some important stuff that you probably want to, you know, keep in the forefront. The most important piece of advice I was given was, if you screw up, continue the check ride. If you fail, continue the check ride. Most people aren't aware, especially people who are just brand new to starting out flying, the examiner is required to tell you right away when you fail. Like I said, I failed the short field landing. I bombed it. I knew I bombed it. I was bummed. But I took the advice of both my instructor and my mentor. I continued the check ride. They're required to grade you on everything you do, so even though you failed, they still have to keep grading you. Now this is great, because first off, it takes all the pressure off of you. You have no more pressure anymore, because guess what? You already failed something. You can't do worse. You're already not getting your certificate. What pressure's left? So now the thing to remember here is that once you failed, keep going. I was never the most comfortable person with sharp turns. You know, the fun little 360 degree steep turns, 360 degree circle. I just never was really comfortable with them. However, having said that, I more than happily went on to do steep turns in my check ride because I'd already failed. And what happened when there was no pressure on me? I passed. I did them perfectly. Now, you might sit there thinking, but wait a minute. It means you have to redo your check ride, right? Well, yes and no. I have to redo the check ride. But I only have to redo the portion that I failed. So, if I hadn't done steep turns, if I had stopped the check ride after I had failed short field landings, that means I would have had to do everything else that I hadn't done yet. I would have had to do steep turns, turns around a point, S-turns, and the radio navigation. Well, I went on and I finished off my check ride. I didn't have to do any of that. All we had to do when I went back for my retest for the certification was the short field landings. That was it. We did three of them, and my instructor signed me off. Now, my instructor gave me a piece of advice that I will never forget. He said, I'm not looking for Chuck Yeager. I'm not looking for a test pilot. I'm looking for a private pilot. I'm looking for somebody who knows what they're doing. I'm looking for somebody who admits when they're not doing it right. I'm looking for somebody who corrects it when they're not doing it right. I'm looking for a pilot who thinks. If you are that pilot, I will sign you off. After we landed, now, I did 3 short field landings, and the first one was not great. We landed fine, but I overshot the stopping mark. The next 2 were fine. But it's because I mentally thought I had failed again. Now, he hadn't said it. And like I said, here they're required to tell you when you fail. And he had not said it, but I mentally thought I had failed again. And I freely admitted to him, you know, I screwed up. I was coming in a little bit too hot, a little bit too fast, and I just didn't stop in time. Well, went back, did it again, did a good one. He said, do one more. Went back up, did one more. We came back in, and I thought I had, like I said, I thought again I had failed, and I hadn't. So, like I said, the important thing to remember with this is, for your check ride, if you fail early on, keep flying. For God's sakes, keep flying. That flying that you do after that failure point will be some of the best flying you've done all day. And I guarantee you that when you're done with that check ride, you'll only have one thing left you have to go back and fix. And when you go back and fix that one thing, you've got your certificate in hand. I got mine back in August. It's now February. I'm still flying. I'm actually doing a flight next weekend. And although this podcast will probably be up after that flight, the one from that flight will be up shortly thereafter as well. I'm going to have my passenger on, a very good friend of mine, who I'm going to interview, and hopefully he'll give you his impressions of flying on a private airplane. All right, I will talk to you all later. Have a good one, and above all else, be safe in the skies.